Welcome to In Season, where we explore connections between people, land, plants, and wildlife here in the Lower Columbia Pacific region. I'm Teresa Retzloff, and joining me today in the studio is Shannon Rauter. She's the Master Gardener and Small Farms Coordinator for OSU Extension in Clatsop County. Welcome, Shannon. It's so great to have you here.
Thanks, Teresa. Thanks so much for having me.
I'm really excited I got your job description right.
That's
Nailed a it. Lot, and there's a lot going on in that job description, and I really want to talk about that because Extension is such an amazing program that's been around a long time, and I think a lot of people in our region have interacted with it, but there's a lot that you do, and let's talk about that. So tell us actually a little bit. You've been in your job about a year now, you said. Where did you come from? How'd you end up here?
Yeah, I moved from Utah. I grew up in New Jersey originally and took a trip to Nebraska in high school, decided I loved open space and wanted to explore agriculture. So I studied agronomy and global resource systems at Iowa State University for my undergrad and then moved to Utah, studied plant science. I worked on some cut flowers for my master's research, and then was just looking to live somewhere in the West and found this wonderful opportunity here in Astoria. So moved here about a year ago.
How has that been? I mean, sometimes people like the transition to the Oregon coast can be a lot. It's a very different growing region for sure. I mean, it's and I know you and I've had conversations in your role as small farms coordinator, and you know, you're having to learn about growing in this region, you know, alongside your master gardeners or anyone else. I mean, that's a lot. It can be very different.
Yeah, it's been a steep learning curve for sure to go from learning a lot about plants in Utah, where it's super dry, we have a lot of salt buildup in the soils, to coming to Oregon, salt is not a concern.
Not There's a problem just here.
Water out the wazoo.
Yeah, we definitely have adequate rainfall. I think that's not a concern for us.
Yeah, and then with the rainfall comes a lot of plant disease pressure, which I've been learning a lot about plant diseases, which has been really interesting.
So it was probably actually good for you to go through the Master Gardener program last year. I know, I mean, that's what I did when we first moved here to start farming, and this was back in 2003. I mean, there wasn't really any small farm support back then, so I'm like, well, I'm going to go through Master Gardener program and figure out how to grow in this region, and it was really helpful to me. I mean, I maybe didn't need the class on lawn care, but there was a lot about it that taught me about growing in this region.
Yeah, the Master Gardener program is an awesome class. I learn so much from our Master Gardeners every time I interact with them. And we still have a lot of farmers or people that own land that are interested in starting farms that come through the Master Gardener program, and that's really how they get their start.
It seems like a really logical thing to do. And I was excited to hear, too. And if you're listening to this, you know, it's early January. And sadly, if you're interested in Master Gardeners, you're going to have to wait a year because the class is about to start. And I was excited to hear you said it's full and you have a waiting list.
Yeah, we're starting on Wednesday. Our class runs from January through April, mostly Wednesday evenings with some Saturdays. But yeah, we have 41 people in the class this year, which is our biggest class ever.
That is huge.
Have a waiting list of a few as well.
That blows my mind. I mean, it's exciting to see that many people engaged and wanting to learn about gardening. So talk a little bit about what Master Gardeners do. I mean, there's the education part of it. And what do you learn?
Yeah, definitely. So we start with a class where we're offering people at least 40 hours of class time. That's about home horticulture. So that covers everything from basic botany to entomology, soils, to the much more applied side, you know, how to select plants for your yard and landscape, how to diagnose plant problems. And then the goal is to take that education and use it to help the community. So then giving that education back to the community. So the Master Gardeners offer classes to the public. They do a help desk at the Extension office and at farmers markets. They have a bunch of demonstration gardens around the county. So a lot of really fun volunteer projects. So 40 hours of class time, 40 hours of volunteering in your first year, and that gets you certified as a Master Gardener. And then every year after that, you'd need to do 10 continuing education hours to keep learning and 20 volunteer hours to stay in the program.
I sadly am lapsed as a Master Gardener, but I loved the program. I loved going through it, and it was really fun. It was very exciting. I do remember, and I will say, like, we were talking about this a little bit before we started recording, about the plant clinics or the outreach at farmers markets, where, you know, Master Gardeners are there to answer your questions about plants. And I just want to, like, have a broad call out to the public and just say, you know, have compassion and patience for the Master Gardeners that you're bringing your problems to, because what Master Gardeners teaches you is not like, here's all the answers and you have to hold those all in your head. It teaches you how to find the answers. And sometimes you have to go away and do some research on finding the problem. So you may bring a problem to someone at a farmer's market or calling the help desk or bring a sample of a plant into the extension office. But the Master Gardeners may need to take a little bit of time to do some research on it and figure it out.
Definitely. Yeah. I think people are always wanting an answer on the spot and we'll say, okay, we'll go back to the office and research that. And they're like, oh no, it's fine. I just want an answer now. But if we want to give you a good answer, we really do need to do some reading and some digging on that best answer.
And also think about, you know, bringing in adequate information. Sometimes if you have something eating one of your plants, try and bring in a sample of the leaf. If you can catch the critter as well as the leaf, that's great too. I just remember having people come in, you know, come to the farmer's market booth or whatever, wherever I was doing it, and be like, I've got this plant and it's kind of big and it's got these dark green leaves. And something's eating it. And, you know, can you tell me what to do about it? And I'd be like, okay, so that covers a lot of things, you know. Can we narrow it down a little bit? And sometimes you can ask questions and get a sense of like, is it a perennial? Is it an annual? You know, what's the damage look like? And sometimes within that, you can kind of make a educated, maybe it's this. But still, if you want to give a good answer, you know, you need to do some research. So be patient with your Master Gardeners.
Yes. And definitely the first step is always plant ID first. Mm-hmm. A lot of people come to us with, you know, I have some ornamental plant and it has this issue. But if you don't know what plant it is, we mm-hmm. definitely need to figure that out first.
So take a picture. Yeah, pictures are great. I mean, we can tell a lot by that. The other one that you talked about is that you also identify a lot of insects.
Yes.
So your entomology has really kicked up a lot. And I remember this too. Like every fall we would get so many poor spiders. Everyone had a brown recluse in their house. It was like, oh, just trying to explain, like, this is really, 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 really rare for something like that to be out here. It is not native to this area. And it's probably some poor house spider that was just doing its job, eating the bugs you don't like, eating all your flies. And now you brought it in.
Yep. Yeah, we get a lot of giant house spiders in the office. If you have really big spiders in Oregon, they're probably just a giant house spider. They're probably not going to hurt you, but happy to ID those anyway. And if there's ones we can't ID, because bug ID can actually be pretty difficult. Mm-hmm. It's easy to get things down to the order, but to figure out the actual species is really tough. So we can actually send stuff to the lab in Corvallis. So yeah, if you bring us a physical insect sample, we can help you send it off if we can't figure it out.
Yeah. And that, I mean, that also is where the problem solving starts, because you have to know both. You have to know the plant that you're talking about, the situation, and then you have to know if it's insect damage, what's the insect. Sometimes you can tell by the damage, oh, it's going to be this, but a lot of times you can't. And then sometimes it's like, it's not an insect at all. It's cultural. It's like you're overwatering it or you're underwatering it, or it's planted in the shade and it needs more sun. And I think the part of me that loves to read like mystery novels loved being a Master Gardener, because it's solving mysteries.
Definitely. Absolutely. It's just tricky. I mean, anything could be a million things all at the same time too, you know, when you have plants that are stressed because they're getting watered improperly or they have nutrient deficiencies, they're going to be more likely to get attacked by pests or other diseases. And so sometimes you can have these compounding factors that makes it even more exciting to figure out what the mystery is.
Are you seeing, I mean, we have been having more examples of extreme weather. You know, I know climate change is starting to affect our region in some, you know, noticeable ways. I mean, do you feel like you're seeing impacts of that? And some of the questions people are asking for with plant stress, you know, if they're going through we had a heat dome event a few years ago, or like freezing or stuff like that. Sometimes, you know, things are happening and it's a little bit outside of what might normally happen.
Yeah, definitely with a lot of our perennials, like our fruit trees or even like ornamental conifers, we see a lot of, you know, prolonged, if we're having these extreme weather events over time, Maybe you're not going to see the impacts of those events until next year or a few years down the road. And then it seems even more mysterious because you've already kind of forgotten that extreme weather event. So we are getting a lot of those questions. Our statewide Master Gardener program has an awesome campaign going on right now. It's called our Garden Future Campaign. And that is really our way of addressing climate change in our gardens. And so we have a survey we're asking folks to fill out all around the state. If you Google Garden Future OSU Extension, you can find our website in the survey. And we're asking people, you know, what changes have they noticed in their gardens? What are they doing about those changes? And what other information do they want relevant to gardening and climate change? And we're going to try to use all that information to come up with some more educational resources. So there should be more on that to come soon.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
So tell me again the website.
Garden Future.
Garden Future. If you Google Garden Future's OSU Extension, I really want to encourage everybody who's listening, if you're a gardener, go do this. Because that's also amazing information for Extension to have. All of that kind of citizen science reporting. Here's what we're seeing. Here's where I'm located. Here's what's happening in my garden. Here's what I'm observing. That's really powerful. Because I certainly feel like I've been observing lots of changes and plants responding differently to things either waking up earlier and insects behaving differently. And some of these stresses, you're right, it's like they happen, but it reverberates for several years.
Definitely.
And you don't think like, oh, is this still that heat dome affecting us? Maybe it is.
Yeah, it's really mysterious and frustrating and scary. You know, there's a lot of uncertainty about how our gardens are going to change. But yeah, that phenology is, you know, the timing of all our different plant things. And so the more data we can get from everyone around the state helps us. So
that's so important. That is really great. And that is such a cool thing that OSU Extension provides. And one of the things that I've always loved about Master Gardeners is like this incredible resource in different communities to, you know, provide education and resources and knowledge about the world around us, your gardens, the natural world, how we interact with it. It's so cool. And you are one of a number now of newer extension agents in our region. So there's a new person in Tillamook County also.
Yes.
And Columbia County.
Yeah. Yeah. We have we've had some turnover in the past few years, but finally now we have a really solid kind of central and north coast team. So yeah, we have Evie in Lincoln County, Sammy in Tillamook County, and John V in Columbia County. And the four of us are really hoping to do a lot of small farms programming and master gardener programming together across our counties.
Is it nice to have that support network of people who are all dealing with similar issues? Like kind of, I mean, because coastal can be different, you know, certainly Columbia County different from Tillamook County, but there's probably a lot of similar things that you're dealing with.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, it's important to remember that county lines are kind of arbitrary boundaries. There's a lot of people in Western Columbia County who, you know, they might get some more value out of my programming than some of the other, like, Eastern Columbia County programming. And same, like, maybe a North Tillamook County farmer identifies more with us up here than down in Southern Tillamook County. So it's important to have that overlap.
Yeah. Do you can refer to other, you know, offices, and if they maybe have more experience with something that someone's experiencing, those shared resources is so important.
Yeah, definitely. We all have different specializations. You know, we all went to grad school for something super niche and specific. I have a lot of cut flower experience, but when people are starting to ask me cover crop questions like yourself, that's new to me, really. But, you know, Sammy, our Tillamook person, has a lot more cover crop experience. So it's great to be able to work on those things together.
That is, I speaking just selfishly as a small farmer in our area, I'm really excited about this. And I do want to talk to you a little bit about your small farms hat as well that you wear. Just before I do that, I just want to mention to everyone who might just be joining us and didn't catch the beginning of our program, I'm speaking to Shannon Rauter. She is the Master Gardener and Small Farms Coordinator for OSU Extension here in Clatsop County. And so we've talked a bit about your Master Gardener job, but also there is this cool other component of it, which is Small Farms Coordinator. So OSU has a Small Farms program, which we were laughing about because it's recently changed its name to some crazy. It's okay, I'm going to make you say it.
Yeah, we're really excited. We just changed from the Center for
Small Farms and Community Food Systems.
Yeah. Yes, to our new name, which is the OSU Center for Resilient Agriculture and Food Systems, so the CRAFS Center. And that program is growing a lot. We have a new organic team that's been getting assembled statewide. We have six statewide organic extension specialists, and we'll be hiring someone else soon to support them in their programming. But yeah, our goal within that is really just to help small farmers broadly across the state with whatever we can. You know, most programming historically in extension has been focused on large-scale field crops, and a lot of our small producers have been left behind. So we're trying to make sure that there's research that's applicable to small farms. We're trying to make sure that those research results get to the small farmers. And a lot of times in really rural areas where small farmers are, you know, it can be really isolating, especially if you're surrounded by large-scale farms. So just making sure that the small farmers in our area are connected to each other, connected to extension and to other service providers in the area.
This is so exciting. I so wish that you had been here when I started. It would have been so helpful and so great. And I'm really excited for people who are just starting out now or who are exploring farming to know that this resource is there. And I would just encourage anybody who's, you know, homesteading or small farming or thinking about it to get in touch with Shannon, because OSU, I mean, the Extension Service does have some great research and some really wonderful resources, especially the Small Farms program, which I think kind of encompasses certainly everyone here in Clatsop County. There's not a lot of like big farms out here. Our landmass just doesn't really lend itself to, you know, 500 acres of broccoli or something like that. It's just not. You're going to have like small farms, and they're mostly going to be selling direct.
Yes.
To like through farmers market or a CSA or like small scale to wholesale to restaurants or stores. That's do you find that predominantly what our small farms
definitely
here do?
Yeah, I'd say. You know, in most cases, farmers market is kind of a stepping stone to other direct marketing opportunities. But yeah, either people selling directly on farms, selling through North Coast Food Web, or the Klatskanai Farmer Collective. Just mainly selling to restaurants, you know, a variety of direct to consumer outlets.
And is it a pretty broad range of, you know, crops and chickens, eggs, meat? I mean, do you find that it's... I mean, that's a pretty big mix for you to have to learn about, too.
Definitely. Yeah. Thankfully, we have some statewide livestock specialists. So if you have livestock questions, I'm not generally your gal. I'll help get you connected to the right people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'd say here in Clatsop County, we have mostly veggies. There's definitely, you know, some new interest in cut flowers and herbs, which is exciting. A lot of egg production, but more just a lot of that's just for, you know, home consumption and maybe selling to your neighbors or the people on your street. But
egg production is tricky.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting. You know, people love fresh eggs. They love local eggs. And I totally get it. And it's hard to explain. It's really hard to make it work economically.
It's insane how much it costs. And especially being out here on the coast, if a lot of the farmers that do eggs here on the coast are driving to Philomath to buy feed, which is a good 3.5 hour trip maybe, so that really cuts into your margins really fast.
Our lack of like that kind of infrastructure and supply network out here really impacts the ability for these businesses to scale up, and I so wish that we had, you know, greater like farm supply stuff out here. I mean, it impacts all of us because, you know, we are all driving someplace else to get our resources because it's just hard to find them out here. I mean, you can find them in small amounts. There's certain, you know, there's businesses locally that do supply that stuff, and I'm so grateful for them. Thank you. Please keep doing that. But, you know, when you need a pallet of something or you need, it's just harder to coordinate that.
Yeah. And I think we're, you know, we in Extension are seeing that that's definitely an issue and that's something we want to help with. I don't know if anyone's figured out a great model to collectively organize those kinds of ordering and pick up things. I know the North Coast Food Web experimented with that a little this past year.
Yeah, we did that last year and it was actually good. It was a bunch of farmers got together and put in an order with a farm supply company in Portland, which is where a lot of us were buying our, you know, fertilizer and soil amendments, things like that. And it was great. I mean, you know, I you know, paid for the cost of my order, but I didn't have to deal with shipping. I didn't have to deal with going in there and getting it. And it made it more comfortable for me to order a couple of pallets of stuff. And then I could just kind of, I didn't have to pick it up all at once. I could transport it to my farm, you know, as in smaller sections. And that was great because it made it easier if you don't have like a big, you know, box truck to and a forklift to
Definitely.
Go do all those things. So, I mean, I hope that programs like that can continue because I do feel like there's so much potential for small-scale agriculture out here. But these really are limiting factors and it just makes it so much more expensive to operate.
Yes.
Than if you live near a supply place like that.
For sure. And I mean, with our soils out here and all the rainfall we're getting, everyone needs lime. I mean, we have very acidic soils. You need, and clayey soils too. So you need tons and tons of lime to raise your soil pH to allow your plants to take up nutrients better. And it's pretty much, it feels impossible to get lime in the quantities we need out here on the coast.
It really is. And I mean, I feel like there was a couple of places down in Tillamook that I used to be able to buy, you know, at least like 50-pound bags of lime from. And the last time I drove down there, they weren't selling. It was like, no. Oh, what, you're not, it's like, they give me this little 5-pound bag for a garden. I'm like, yeah, it's not what I need. And that was a heartbreaker, because you're right. I mean, I feel like I'm never adequately liming.
No.
Because you just can't. I mean, I really need to order like a dump truck of lime, and then, you know, then you have to put it out and you have to have the tools to do that. And it's a lot. It's a lot. So have compassion also for your small farmers who are doing their best. And yes. I mean, anything that you can do, that Extension can do to help us figure some of this stuff out is really helpful.
Yeah.
Because these really are things that a lot of folks struggle with. When people approach you about maybe starting a small farm, what are you hearing? What's out there that people are kind of interested in exploring, do you think?
I think everyone's just trying to figure out how to find their niche and do something new, you know? I mean, it's a pretty small community, so I think most people that are somewhat connected to the food system are aware of the farms that are here, and they're very courteous of that, not wanting to step on people's toes. So it's a question of, how can I differentiate? You know, what can I grow that no one else is growing? But often those things aren't being grown here because they're difficult to grow here.
Yeah.
So trying to figure out some of those challenges so we can expand our cropping options.
Absolutely. I feel too like there's, you know, it's really hard. Everyone grows kale. You know, of course, there's certain things that everyone's going to grow. And I feel like also we just need to grow our markets, because there's a lot of people who live out here who don't buy local food, and it isn't always just because it's, you know, I know sometimes it's more expensive or it's harder to find, and it's not as easy perhaps as just going to a supermarket and buying your stuff there, but it's not impossible, and it doesn't have to be that complicated, and it's honestly not that much more expensive, and oftentimes what you will find is like the quality and the, especially if it's fresh produce, the longevity of that fresh produce compared to what you're buying at a supermarket is so much better.
Definitely. Yeah, I think a lot of things that grow well out here, people aren't always super used to cooking with in American cooking too. Like leeks do super well out here, but a lot of people aren't really used to using leeks.
Leeks are so good. They're so good. I will say that it's been a couple of years since I've grown them, because they're a little fiddly to grow. And they're fiddly to grow well.
That's true.
Like a well-grown leek is a beautiful thing. If you don't know what we're talking about, leeks are these, like, they look like a really big spring onion.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to keep hilling them up, keep burying them to get that long white shank, which I'm never good at. You can still eat the shank even if it's pale green. I'm just going to say it's fine. It tastes fine. It's just a visual. But leeks are, it's like in the onion family, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
So delicious. It's different. It's a mild onion.
Yeah. They are something special.
Leek and potato soup.
I was just going to say.
Oh. And potatoes grow really well out here.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
You've got a full meal pretty much.
Definitely. And so, yeah. So sometimes it's kind of, I think there's a consumer education component with learning to use everything. And I think that's something a lot of people don't realize about Extension. We do have some nutrition programs as well. We've got some recipes on our Extension website that are really fun. Very nutrition focused, very healthy. And another fun program, while I'm talking about nutrition stuff, OSU actually has a master food preserver program for people interested in canning.
I really want to do that.
Yeah, it's starting up this spring. I think the registration is open now, and that's a really small class. It's only about 12 people, and it's got an online component and an in-person component that'll be taking place in Klatskanai. So if you're interested in that, yeah, Google OSU Ooh. Master Food Preservers.
If you could see my face. I've wanted to take that program forever. Forever. Oh, that's so exciting. Okay, don't everyone like compete with me for those spaces.
Yeah.
Let me get in there and sign up.
Leave space for Teresa.
But other than that, so that is actually, that makes me so happy. That makes me so happy because that is such a powerful program. So many people are interested in food preserving but just don't know how to do it. And if you don't have an older family member who's grow up doing it to teach you. I got to take a class from back when the Tillamook County Extension agent years ago was a master food preserver. And she came up and taught like a class up here in Clatsop County, which wasn't master food preservers, but it was just like a how to can. And that's how I learned. And then, but it was still terrifying to
it's
do it on your own. You know, I blew up a lot of things. Never blew up a pressure cooker, but I, you know, but I learned and now I'm pretty good at it. But I would still love to just go through the program and actually learn all the bits and bobs about it.
So
that's
really
cool.
And that's a volunteer program like the Master Gardener program. So the goal is to get that knowledge and then, you know, go teach one-off things in the community about canning, which is really fun. Yeah, and we do free pressure gauge testing in the extension office for your canning needs as well. So really just full service. If you have a random question related to food or agriculture that you can't figure out, come find us.
I really do want to encourage people to do this and look at extension as the resource that it is, because it is amazing. And I know in Clatsop County, you know, there's like the whole 4-H program and all kinds of other things. Is forestry still out here?
Yeah. Yep, we have
so forestry. If you have a woodlot on your property, you know, there's resources there for you. And like I said, they may not be able to give you an immediate answer, but boy, can they do some research and figure out, you know, the answer to your problem and then hopefully help you, you know, figure out like solutions and what to do about it.
Yeah. And I mean, cool part about being on the coast, too, we have Oregon Sea Grant. So land grant is for helping, our farmers and such. But we have Sea Grant for helping our commercial fishermen. So we have someone in our office who answers commercial fishermen's questions, too. So just So broad
and so mind-blowing. If people want more information, what's the easiest way to get a hold of you to find out more about any of these programs, Master Gardener programs, small farms, Master Food Preservers, any of this? Like, they want to talk to Shannon or they want to talk to someone at Extension.
Yeah, pretty straightforward website, I guess. I should have looked at it. I don't know it off the top of my head, but if you just Google Oregon State Extension, Clatsop County, you'll come to our webpage. There's a whole faculty and staff directory, so you can choose who to talk to by program, or there's just a general number if you aren't sure who you need to talk to.
And this would be true if you're in Tillamook or Columbia County or Lincoln
County,
wherever
any
you're listening,
yep.
Just go to your county's extension website, and that'll give you all the resources to contact. And if you do want to bring plant material in, the office is located here in Astoria. You just get the address. And there's certain days when you can drop weird disease. And that hasn't started yet. The plant clinic has not started yet.
Yes.
I'm just going to say, so don't bring your weird plants in yet.
Yeah, so we're at 2001 Marine Drive, which is the Seafood Research Building. We're on the second floor. We do our Master Gardener Plant Clinic from May to October, so that is really the best time. But if you have a random plant question before May, I'm happy to answer those as well. So,
just give her some time, not right off the top of her head.
I probably can't give you an immediate answer.
but you will get an answer. And that's
definitely
the cool thing. And that's what I really do appreciate about it, is that you are talking to people who are, you know, scientists who are trained in, you know, finding out like the actual answer, not like, I love a good folk remedy, but it's also really nice to have answers that are based in thorough research and understanding of, you know, soil systems and plant systems and all of these things. So it is a really amazing resource that we have here. And I'm so excited for all of our counties to be fully staffed. Thanks so much. Thank you, Shannon. It's been great to talk to you today on In Season. And thanks to everyone for joining us. Hope you're getting geared up for a good gardening, farming season. And we'll talk to you next time.
Yeah, thanks, Teresa.
It's been so great. I really appreciate you being here.
Thank you. It's been really fun.
This program comes in part from Astoria Co-op, an independent grocery store and deli owned by the people who shop there. Celebrating 50 years, the co-op welcomes everyone, offering fresh produce delivered from nearby farmers, prepared foods, and local organic products. More information at astoria.coop. Open daily from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. on Marine Drive.
You're listening to KMUN Astoria 91.9 FM and KTCB Tillamook 89.5. Streaming at KMUN.org. Expect a detour on OR 202 about 5 miles south of Astoria today, Crews are continuing work to replace a damaged culvert at milepost 7. The Oregon Department of Transportation expects repairs will be completed today. For current information on road conditions and closures in Oregon, visit tripcheck.com. It's Tuesday, January 7th. News is next on KMUN. It's 10 o'clock.